Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I love church. I love church. I can't say it was always that way. I remember days where when I came to church, I much preferred to sleep on my mom's shoulder than to listen to the sermon. No offense, Dad. But I can now honestly say that I love going to church. And I think the reason for this is because I finally realized that here at church, we have something that you can find no other place on earth. And that's the living water that we heard Pastor Elliot talk about in the children's message. The forgiveness of sins given to us through Christ's word. That was delivered first at our baptism, that's been taught us our whole life and preached out of this pulpit, and that we receive at the Lord's table. And what a joy it is to gather with Christians in this place and receive God's gifts. Because that's what church is all about, receiving gifts. And I love opening presents. And because I love opening presents and I love receiving gifts, I now can say that I love going to church. And one thing I love specifically about this congregation is I love the children's devotions. And not only do I like to watch my dad squirm as he tries to think of things to say, but I love seeing all those kids bounce up here to the front. What a joy it is to my heart to see the future of our church in those faces of those children as they listen to God's word and they do their repeat after me prayers. However, when I've gone to churches throughout the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, I've seen quite a disturbing trend with our youth. In fact, President Kieschnick came to St. Louis Seminary recently, and he spoke to the SEM students, and he gave us some disturbing statistics. Believe it or not, if you take the group of people who are baptized as children in an LCMS congregation, statistics say that one half of those people will be inactive, will be out of an LCMS church by confirmation age. That somewhere between infant baptism and confirmation, we lose one half of our youth. And that bothers me. I don't know if that bothers you. The second statistic that he gave was even more troubling. It said that one half of those confirmed in an LCMS church are no longer an active church member when they get out of college. So let me just repeat that for you. Between infant baptism and confirmation, we've lost half of our youth, and then we lose a half of those by the time they get out of college. So in the end, we're left with one quarter of what we started with. Many people have seen this problem in our churches, and there's been many solutions offered. One popular solution in the last 30 years is to try to go with contemporary worship. The idea was is that we changed the music to something more hip, cool. The kids nowadays will just love that music, and they'll stay in church. And although at times it might have worked, overall, in churches with contemporary worship, we don't see this trend any better. In fact, statistics recently have shown that people my age actually prefer traditional worship, and it's usually those in their 40s and 50s that want the contemporary. Another solution that's actually a better solution is youth programs. In our Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, there's been a big movement the last 30 years to increase youth workers. I went to college with a bunch of DCEs, that's Director of Christian Education. And a lot of my friends, these DCEs, their goal was to try to get youth excited in the LCMS church. And the idea is, you know, you go into a congregation, you get the youth to have Bible studies together, they do fun events together, but through building camaraderie, those kids will stay in church. And it has had some success. It's kind of helped with the erosion of our children leaving the LCMS. But still, overall, it does not seem to turn the tide in this most disturbing trend. And so I've thought a lot about this. You know, I'm going to be a pastor. I'm a young person. And the future of my church body is quite in peril. The average age of the LCMS congregations is getting quite old. You know, but as I thought about it, I think I'm on to something. I think I'm on to something of why our kids leave church, why we have such a poor retention rate. And although it seems so simple, I think the reason is that we've lost sight of the gospel. You know, Christ tells us exactly what he has to offer. He offers living water, the forgiveness of sins offered by our Savior. And there's two things that I think our children don't realize, and I think also many of our adults don't realize. And they're the most simple things that we learned since we were young. It's, who is Jesus, and what does he have to offer? You know, for centuries, humans looked for the fountain of youth. And although we still might not look for the fountain of youth, you know, we look for solutions to the problems in this world through medicine and other routes. But here in this place, we have the fountain of youth. We have the gospel. We have eternal life offered to us. Can you imagine if people really believed that, how packed this church would be? If people really realized what we have to offer in this place, I would imagine that we wouldn't have enough pews to fit all the people. Today, in our gospel, we have the story of the Samaritan woman at the well. And like many of us, she does not quite realize who Jesus is and what he has to offer. She sees him as just a Jewish man. He probably looked like any other Jewish man, curly brown hair, olive skin, dark brown eyes, maybe some stubble or a beard. But as the reader of the gospel, we have some special knowledge. We know that this man created the whole universe by his very word. We know that this man sustains the whole universe, that he keeps our heart beating. We know that this man is going to die on the cross for the salvation of the whole world. And we know that this man loves us and wants us to live eternally with him. Jesus says to her, if you knew the gift of God, if you knew the gift of God and who it was speaking to you, you would ask me for living water and I would give it to you. If you knew the gift of God and who it was who was speaking to you, you would beg me for living water and I would give it. If someone really knows, I mean really knows by faith, what God has to offer, all else flows. A zeal for the gospel, evangelism, a church attendance, love, and all God's gifts. They all flow from this one thing, the gospel. Let me illustrate this way. There's a story that a pastor used to tell, a pastor friend of my father and I. And the story goes that there's these ranchers in Australia. I think this story is true, by the way. And these ranchers in Australia loved their homestead. They loved their property. But times got rough. And when times got rough, they couldn't afford to keep the ranch. They worked all day trying to keep the place nice. And at night, they'd do their books and try to add those numbers up, try to figure out a way that they wouldn't have to sell the property. And as they stayed up late nights and did their books, they drank a lot of coffee. And they'd go back and forth to the kitchen, to the dining room, making pot and pot of coffee. And there was a swinging door between those two rooms, and they'd prop it with a large rock. Well, as they went back, got more coffee, did the calculations, eventually they found out it wasn't going to work. They had to sell the ranch. All their property was auctioned off, and that was that. But the man who received the property, he came to see his new possession, and he saw that rock, and he said, there's something peculiar about that rock, and he broke it open, and inside was one of the largest diamonds ever found. All this time, those poor people needed some grace. They needed something to save them. They needed just a little bit in order to keep that ranch. And they had walked by that diamond, not knowing what they had. Well, in the same way, we have something much more precious than a diamond. And often we come to church week by week, and we don't realize what we got. But I encourage you to love church, to love this place, because we have a treasure. We have a treasure encased in the most humble ways, a treasure in water here at baptism, a treasure in the words of a man as he proclaims absolution to you, treasure in bread and wine, which is the very body and blood of our Lord for the forgiveness of all your sins. We have a treasure in jars of clay. We have a treasure that might not look like anything to the world, but we know what it is. Unlike those ranchers who had to sell their property and it was too late for them, it certainly is not too late for any of you. For today, God comes to you in his word to give you living water. Jesus Christ wants you to know who he is and what he has to offer. And he offers you today the forgiveness of sins, eternal life, salvation. It's yours because he died on the cross for your sins. And when the pure gospel, this truth, this treasure really gets a hold of us, all God's gifts will flow. We don't have to despair that our churches are struggling, for we know who's in control. We know that the same God who made the universe, the same God who sent his Son, is the same God who is among us today through his word and sacrament. You know that Exodus story we had today? The people grumbled in the desert, and they finally ended up asking, is God with us or not? Is he here or not? Is he going to prove that he's with us or not? Well, I tell you today that God is here. God is among us. He loves us, and he wants to forgive you of your sins. For while we were still his enemies, God showed his love for us, and that he sent his Son to die for us. Amen.